You know, we've been reading through the New Testament, and this past week was 1 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Paul has been dealing with all kinds of crazy issues, and what he comes up with is the importance of everyone in the body doing their part. Now, my arms are going to get tired. If anybody wants to come up after a little while use these for something, whether it's shoulder exercises or tricep exercises. I wouldn't mind keeping them going, so at least you get something out of the sermon. Here's my next question. Okay, guys, I'm putting you on the spot. How many of you, in the last 40 hours, when you stopped in front of a mirror, did a little bit of a flex, besides me? Thank you for being honest. Oh, come on. Nathan, really? No? He's too modest. That's good. Well, we are going to be talking about Paul's solutions to the crazy things going on in Corinth. I'll admit, my midlife crisis has kind of become exercise and fitness. And I'm not going too crazy about it, although it looks like it right now. But I thought I could do a few sets this morning. Here's my next question, and this is for all of us. If you were to look into a mirror, and that mirror was to reflect your spiritual self, not just your physical self, how would you look? Would you look robust? Or would you look emaciated? If you were looking into a mirror that reflected your spiritual self, would you be well-fed with healthy things? Or would you look starved? Would you look energized, or would you look tired? Would you look atrophied, or would you look fit? What are you doing to feed yourself? What are you doing to exercise? You know, our bodies are designed to do things, not just for ourselves, but to keep doing things. And you know, we read in the middle of the week, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul writes this, and it should be on our screens. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. If you want to talk about spiritual fitness, if you want to get better, you know, your spiritual life connects with every other part, every other dimension, every other relationship of your life. Your relationship with yourself is spiritual. Your relationship with the people around you is spiritual. Your relationship with the calling of and the purpose of your life is spiritual. Your relationship to God is spiritual. So if you want to talk about spiritual fitness, if you want to get better, if you want to make a bigger difference, you have to know that you were called to be a part of this body. And what does that mean? To be a part of Christ's body, Jesus said, abide in me. Be a part of what God is doing in your area. Don't you know that when you disengage, if what Paul says is true, that's as bad as your hand or your foot disengaging from your own body. If you are not actively growing, seeking, searching, serving, that's as bad as, suppose you're the elbow of the body. Try being a body with a bad elbow. It impacts the the rest of the body. Don't fight against pressure. Allow pressure to do what it's supposed to do. Every time you move, every time you serve, every time you have the opportunity to grow, it's because there's pressure being applied in your life. Don't run away from it, but embrace it. Allow pressure to do what it's supposed to do. You know, most of the stress in our lives comes from trying to avoid the problems, trying to avoid the stress, trying to avoid the pressure. And let's face it, for some of you, your biggest problem is not having plugged in, cutting off what you need. You know, one of the things that we have in our culture is we want to know how to be just involved enough that I don't feel guilty. I want to know how much, like if it's to a community organization, how much do I give of my time, how much do I give of my money, so that I don't feel bad. That's what limits a lot of us. There are some of us that God is waiting to do a great work in our lives, but won't because we haven't engaged fully. And we're like the missing finger in the body of Christ. M. Scott Peck, in his psychology classic, Road Less Traveled, writes this: life is a series of problems. Do we want to moan about them or solve them? What makes life difficult is that the process of confronting and solving problems is a painful one. Problems, depending on their nature, evoke in us a frustration or grief or sadness or loneliness or guilt or regret or anger or fear or anxiety or anguish or despair. That's why we call them problems. They evoke all that in us. But just as kids in school, we set problems for our children to solve, that's how we learn. Do you know what the latest statistic is? 28% of people have anxiety. Think about that. 28%, more than one of every four people that you see, have anxiety. Now, anxiety sometimes is a good thing if it's the stress hormones that are meant to help us get out of danger. But you know what? Those hormones are meant to be used up in 20 minutes for danger, for fight or flight. We're not supposed to have them circulating through us on and on and on and on. It's no wonder that so many people and so many relationships are burned out dealing with stress like that, carrying it around. So what do? We self-medicate. We escape into all kinds of things, good and bad, but there's still escapes. We skim through relationships and life. We isolate, thinking that if we just cut ourselves off from the people around us who we think are the ones driving us crazy, when chances are the one driving us crazy is ourself. We self-medicate, we isolate, or we escalate. We go on the attack. We yell. We try to control other people. You know, a friend of mine pointed out, Jesus never tried to control anybody. As you go back and you read the Gospels, and hopefully you walked through them with us, he never tried to control everybody. He'd go like this a lot. But he never tried to manipulate or control them. How many of our problems in finding our place and finding our purpose and finding our niche may be because we're trying to control everybody around us? But I think the main problem is we forget. We forget God. We forget that God is our healing. We forget that God has called us for his good purpose. We forget that we are called to be a member of his own body. It is so good that you are here today. Dr. Marty Fletcher, who attends here, said, that's why I have to read the Bible every day. I have to read the Bible every day because the stress usually starts in my mind. And oftentimes reading the Bible is the reminder that we need. The older I get, the longer the list is of things I already know but forgot. Marty says this, as a psychologist, when you face stress, lean into it. The emotions themselves, even the scary ones, they in and of themselves are gentle. When we fight them is when we struggle. The worst thing for us is the tension of what might be coming. To hold it back is when we fail, when we fall into drinking, into porn, into sex, into escape. It's the fighting against going there that causes all of that, not the facing of it. Part of my midlife crisis has been doing CrossFit. Here, I'll try these 45 pounders. Well, I don't think I could do much. Here's the deal. If it's 5:30 in the morning, and my CrossFit class is at 6:30 in the morning, and we never do arm curls, by the way, and I lie there in bed, and I fret, what if we have to do front squats today? Oh, I can't stand front squats. What if we have to do wall balls today, like with a medicine ball? I can't stand wall balls. Okay, I'm doing shrugs. What if we have to run a long ways today? I don't really like that, especially on cold mornings. Do you see the problem? I would stay in bed. If I'm in bed thinking about what the CrossFit instructor might make us do, writing on that whiteboard in that workout room, I'll get so stressed out and scared, I'd never get out of bed. But if I get out of bed, when I go there, it's always okay. And I get through it. Every single time, I get through it. But not if I'm lying in bed, stressing and thinking nothing but negative thoughts about it. That's CrossFit. Most of the time, I'm not so wise. I never get to my problems because I'm building up so many defenses in front of them that my avoidance creates more problems. Now, in this Corinthian letter that we've been walking through, Paul is helping this group of Christ followers deal with all kinds of problems. False identity, and basing your life on false identity. Factions within the church. This doesn't even have to do with what's going on in society, but within the church. Paul names the problem. And another thing, letting go of perceptions or the world's view, the worldly stuff that is so attractive, but not of God. And yes, you lived your whole life in the world. He deals with sexual acting out, and he deals with pride all within the church. And Paul is asking the first century Corinthians, and through him, God is asking the 21st century Christians, why would you do all of that? Why would you do all of that? Why are you so caught up in that? When you can have everything. Why would you get so caught up in everything that you're caught up when you could have everything in Christ? Instead of self-medicating, you turn to Christ. The scriptures are so deep. Into them you just go and go and go. My guys' small group each has said in their own ways, the idol of self that I was following, whether it was my dreams, whether it was the expectations of my parents, whether it was going after the success and what that looks like, the idol of self I was following, I traded it in for the body of Christ. Listen to how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 12:12. Is it warm in here, or is it just me? It's just me. I'm just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. When you look in your spiritual mirror that reflects your spiritual self, how parched are you? Are you reading anything of spiritual substance? Are you reading just, what's the word, pablum? We were all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. It takes a great variety to be the body of Christ here today for the world today. We need you. We need you. And if you served for a long time and you're like, have been catching your breath for a little while, we still need you. Look at what he goes on to write. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Don't you know that you were created to be a part of the good works of God here and now? Let me ask you, what part of the body are you? Or what part of the body could you be? Could you be the heart? Do you feel things deeply? Could you be the heart? Do you see suffering and say, I'm feeling moved? Do you have compassion? Are you the kind that can't ignore when you see something wrong? What part of the body could you be? Could you be the mouth? Could you be willing to speak love and kindness into people's lives and not just empty words? Some of you are so gifted with words. Maybe that's your part of the body. Could you be the eyes? Do you see things? Do you see situations? Do you see solutions that the rest of us don't see? Are you the ears? Do you listen well? How powerful the gift of listening is. Maybe you're the hands. Maybe you're a hand. Maybe you're a worker. You're a doer. And you're like, well, the whole church thing, I've never thought that doing things like making this place welcoming for visitors by literally shoveling dirt or whatever it might be is where God has called me. Helping someone build a ramp at their house. Going down to Cass to serve and to build bunk beds. That may be your role as the hands. Maybe you're the feet. Maybe you're a solid foundation. When everybody else wigs out, you're still there standing, supporting. Maybe you're the back. Maybe you're the feet that move the body to go where Christ needs to be. Maybe you're the inner organs that hold it all together. Maybe you're the arm and you do have strength of character, strength of mind, strength physically, or the knees. Maybe you're the knees and you have the ability to submit to God, the ability to lift others up in prayer. Maybe you're the neck that turns the head. You know, Christ is the head of the body. Maybe you're the neck that connects people to Christ, sharing his love with them. If you think you're a more obscure part of the body of Christ, don't worry. Listen to what Paul writes in verse 22. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You know, your thumb's not nearly as strong as your leg muscle. But how bad would it be to lose a thumb? And if you're a thumb and you're not here thumbing away, somebody's in trouble. Sorry, that was really bad. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Think of what this means with us being the body of Christ in terms of a congregation. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. You know, you might be a little nervous because you're like, I am so not out there in front. Do not make me get up and pick up the dumbbells or do things to prove what I am. If you're behind the scenes, if you are small in the body, you are vital. Think of it this way. I can lose my eye. I can lose my feet. I can lose my arm and still live a full-length life. But I can't lose my liver, my pancreas, my spleen, my valves that nobody sees. You may be a servant working so hard behind the scenes, and you are so vital. You need to be encouraged and know that. Look at what Paul says in verse 26 of chapter 12. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Don't suffer alone. Forget whatever front you've put up so that people won't notice how bad it is right now for you. Whatever image you think you're projecting, people can see through it. We all suffer. Lay down your pride and let's get it taken care of. You belong here. There is no shame. Just because you get ear infections and I get eye infections doesn't mean anything. We are broken people, but God is making us whole. Just don't get sicker. Don't keep going down this path of isolation. For example, we're offering a grief group starting August 17th. Dr. Marty Fletcher's leading that one. Talk to Pastor Steve to learn more details. And then one more verse. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are the manifestation of the body of Christ, the physical manifestation of his body right here, right now. Each one of you is a part of it. And you know, our bodies are to do something. So this week, I want you to stop thinking just about yourself. I want you to think about how what you're doing is affecting me personally. How what you're doing is affecting the people around you, let alone your family and friends. And I will stop thinking about just me and my problems and instead think about how my participation in this body of Christ affects you. Are you building the body of Christ here? And if you are in the body of Christ, are you reaching out and doing what bodies are meant to do? Remember, it's a way to serve the rest of the body, to exercise it, to lean into it. Resist the temptation to wish you were some other part of Christ's body. Do what you know, like we talked about last week, and celebrate the gifts of other members of the body. You'll experience a fulfillment like you've never known before. Feed on the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Feed on the nutritious food that God has. Breathe deeply the fresh air of God's Spirit in prayer. Feed on the Word of God. Join us in this New Testament walkthrough if you're not a part of any other study. Jesus said you don't live on food alone, but on every word that comes from God that we call Scripture. I'd like to close with a prayer, and it's a special prayer for each of the members of the body. If I name a body part that is a category that fits you, would you just raise your hand and hold it open like this? So I'll pray for the foot and the hand. I'll pray for the inner organs, the ears, the eyes, the hearts. Think which category you're in as we pray. If you are a foot, I invite you to open your hands. Almighty God, you said, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful it is when there are people here who we can stand on, that we can rest on, that give us stability in our lives and in our congregation. I pray a blessing on them, Lord. And now if you're the hand, God, I pray for the workers, the helpers, the prayers as they are lifted up but with holy hands. God, I pray for those who are meticulous and who are gifted in details that their hands enable for us to experience as a body. And now, if you think you might be an ear in the body of Christ here, I pray, God, for those who listen to you, who listen for you and for your word, and who hear the needs of others and lead our body here to respond. Bless the ears among us. And God, those who are the eyes. Lord, I pray for those who can see what others need, who can see a problem and begin to move us toward solving it. I pray, God, for those whose eyes don't get caught up in appearances, but really see under the surface. And we pray a blessing that you would help them to see clearly and sharply, and that we would listen. And now, God, I pray for those who may be the heart, your heart in our body here. God, I pray for those who feel the love of God, and those with compassion, and those with the ability to do hard things because their heart beats for you, and that you would strengthen their heart, that you would empower them to pump your love throughout this fellowship of believers, and that we would allow our heart to touch each of our lives. And God, I pray for all of us who may be the inner organs, those who are the lifeblood of the body of Christ, the connectors, the sinews that keep us together, those who don't get noticed but who work hard in ways others don't always see. Lord, even those who work in secret, you know and you see. Your word says that you have seen our innermost being. Even before we were fully formed, you were knitting us together. I pray, God, that you would bless those among us who are the inner workings, and we offer them up to you now. And God, we pray that you would bless our whole body, that we would be your presence in this world that so desperately needs you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.